It's the Courtroom Observer conference call on September 21st, 2016, and I don't have any. I was going to try to get this. Well, it's a little bit too late to try to get her on this time, but Mark Cardova, who's been going to court here and there, and they just keep, you know, changing their mind and doing different stuff and along. He actually has a National Liberty Alliance advocate member who is actually a bar trying to get us hooked up so that she might be able to come on the call and talk. Really been trying to help him out.
Laura, are you there? Laura?
Yeah?
You keep on going in and out of my end. Are other people having that experience?
Yeah, I can't hear her too good.
Yeah, you're not coming in really well.
How's this?
I had a lot of background noise.
Better, yeah.
Oh, I guess, I don't know. I have it on speakerphone, and maybe it's my fan, I don't know. But anyway, did you hear anything about Mark Cardova and the National Liberty Alliance member that's a bar attorney?
That was all I was able to get.
Well, she's been really helping him, and he's trying to hook us up so that she can get on the call and talk to us a little bit, but I didn't have time to do it tonight. Anyway.
Is she a mediator?
Huh?
Is she a mediator or?
I don't know. I haven't really hooked up with her yet, but he just sounded like he was, she's a member, because she doesn't agree with anything that's going on either. And she understands, you know, their whole thing, so.
Oh, she's a member of NLA.
Yeah. And, cause John opened it up to bar attorneys, I don't know, last winter or spring. Because we were getting calls from people like her who get it, and they are tired of it, too. So, anyway, I was wondering if anybody has any cases they know about, or are they going to witness for, or they have any cases on their own, of their own. No? Okay.
No.
Does anybody know anything about what's been going on with the Bundy trial at all?
Not really. How can we find out?
I don't know. Carl, you don't know anything, do you?
No, I really don't. You know, it'd be nice for someone who is there again. If somebody is from there and they want to speak, I'd be willing to put them on, give them the call.
Well, do you have Ollie's number?
Ollie, you know, let me see if I can invite Ollie. Do you mind if I leave the call for a minute so I can
no,
call
go ahead.
Him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Ollie is out west, I think.
Yeah, well, it seems like he's been going to the hearings.
This is California Fred. I have a question.
Yeah.
This bar attorney that is dissatisfied, disgruntled with the legal system, do you know that, is there a club of bar attorneys that are in the same frame of mind or a website where they're unifying or sharing info?
I don't know. I wonder if that would be a little bit too dangerous for them.
We haven't heard nothing like that.
I haven't, and I just feel like John opened it up to bar attorneys because, you know, they were calling us, and you know, we had it closed off; they couldn't join. But I know there's a whole bunch of recovering attorneys, too, that quit. You know, I don't know how many members there are of the, you know, of NLA, but I know that there is. And I mean, my mom had a book club dinner party on Friday night, and two attorneys were there that are in the club, and one of them's retired. He was the city attorney, and the other one is still in a practice with a bunch of people. And every time the attorney that's still in practice would say anything about the law, the other guy would run out of the room and say, "Oh, you're talking about law. I have to get out of here." The subject was Martha Washington. It was some book on Martha Washington, and my mom asked everybody what they would do if they were president. And I was first, so I said I'd restore the original 13th Amendment, where no attorneys or nobility or royalty could be in government whatsoever. And they all looked at me like I was nuts. They never heard of that, you know. It's like, okay. I hope they looked it up. Crystal, you got any news?
Hello.
Hi, you got any news?
Let's see what's been going on. But right now, my brother, he's fighting for his life. He's very sick in the hospital, so.
That's what you've been dealing
with. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm bringing on Ollie.
Ollie's going to tell us, Crystal, Ollie's going to tell us about the Bundy thing.
So, Ollie, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, would you, you have the floor, if you want to kind of tell us what's going on, because a lot of us are kind of in the dark here. I appreciate you coming on, by the way, on such short notice.
Okay. I've been tracking what's going on with the Bundys. In fact, I'm on Pacer, and I've been checking Pacer twice a day to see what the enemies putting in court records. It is obvious that it is totally one-sided. They interviewed an Oregon state police today, and he talked about he didn't talk about the boy Finnegan killing. He talked about how they found out that they were headed into the next county. That whole trial is coming apart at the seams. The witnesses, let me put it this way. The first witnesses was Sheriff Ward. He testified that he was very afraid because he had heard about Bunkerville and his three that was going to happen in Harney County, and he watched all his YouTube videos. But to make a long story short, he was making decisions and operating in his county on fear and YouTube videos. One of the best ones was a Jamal refuge. It's basically the same story. He is basing his stuff on YouTube videos. Finally, one of the defense lawyers asked him, "Were you ever threatened by the Bundys?" Well, no. But here's the thing about court observers. There are some court observers now, and we were trying to talk them into making daily at sworn affidavits. They're not doing those, but they are documenting that trial and at least getting some truth into it. Certain people like Dan Bailey and Gary Roots out of Montana are filing motions daily based upon documents. Here a couple of days ago, Deborah Sue Venetucci, she was in the court observing. Well, she noticed over a few days that every time one of the prosecutor's witnesses come up, a different group would sit behind sit in the gallery in the front row and sit there and non-verbally coach the witnesses. She went up it real quietly and asked the U.S. Marshal what the deal was. And the marshal told her, those people are part of us, never mind. So she sat down and she said, I'm going to leave. She walked out and that marshal followed her out, okay, and said, if you come to this courthouse again, we will arrest you for trespass. So she called the head of the U.S. Marshals in the courthouse, and he basically told her the same thing. So anyway, she is in direct contact with Shauna Cox, okay. They made a sworn affidavit. They made a document, and they got that filed in the court system. Court observers are very, very important. They've got to watch for a judge's attitude, for blatant bias, and court observers should have a basic understanding of the Constitution, of American jurisprudence, not an expert education, but a good feeling for what is right or wrong in a courtroom procedures. I am, as Carl knows, I'm trying to get something going down in Nevada. I'm trying to get court observers set up down there and get them in the habit where they make daily notarized affidavits, and whether they file them with NLA or not, they need to be in place. And there's another reason for those sworn affidavits. If the Bundys or anybody else, Santilli or any of them, get a chance for civil litigation to turn around and sue the government, these sworn affidavits will be invaluable. They will be invaluable. I finally convinced Deb Jordan of that. So court observers, it is very, very important. Anything else I can say, Carl? That's basically what I would say.
No, that was great. Mm-hmm. That really was great. So thank you for your update. I really appreciate you coming on and giving us that update.
Yeah, in fact, a couple of days ago, I was thinking of coming on this call. I'm making up a tutorial on court observers.
Good.
It's one of the tools we've got to use. Court observers and all this and that. Like I said, observers in truth in these courts, and it gets over. It's like the wrong case up to expense it. Like a bad story, I'll be getting in a couple of days, I'll be getting to see Joe Archon. He's in Eaglewood, Colorado now. There is a God. And again, going to visit him, helping with this, with Dan Bailey and Roots. But
I can't hear Ollie at all. It's all garbled.
Ollie, are you on a speaker?
Ollie's actually coming through me.
Oh.
Is that coming in okay? Or Ollie,
no.
Do you want to maybe come in? On your own? Is it possible for you to call in?
Yeah, let me try that. That breaks more. I've done all that talk since nobody heard me.
No, sorry.
let me hang up and call back.
All
okay.
Right.
Well, Carl, we can if he's going to write up a thing on the courtroom observers, you can put that up, and you know maybe even on the main page if it's.
Okay, well, at the very least, I have, because he's on the call with me, I have what he just said in the past couple minutes recorded, I think. So, if worse comes to worse. But, yeah, let him come in. When did he start dropping out?
It sounded like three sentences ago. I spoke up pretty quickly because I didn't want to miss, you know, what he was saying. But it was like I think I missed about three sentences on my end here.
Well, it was mostly he had finished saying what he needed to say, and then he went into saying he was going to write up a paper or something about the courtroom observers, and then he was explaining all this stuff about that. That's
hello. Can everybody hear me now?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We heard you say everything you needed to say about the Bundy case, and then when you started to mention about writing up a thing about the courtroom observers for us, and you were explaining all this stuff, that's when we lost you.
Yeah. What the deal is? I'm doing websites, and I found a template that is an awesome website. We use new methods, so I started putting together a court observer filing and public support website, and I'm gathering up a lot of facts on what on court observers, what they need to know, you know, like a basic constitutional understanding, basic understandings of American jurisprudence. They've got to be aware of the judges' attitudes, their demeanor, the judges' bias. They've got to be aware of things like the Fed sitting there coaching their witnesses with sign language, and they've got to be quiet. They've got to be very observant, and they've got to learn how to take notes. That's one thing I never could do is take notes. I'm not a typer and I'm not a writer. I try to talk. But court observers are very important in the fact that no truth is being in these trials. In this century, no truth is being put in these federal court cases. It's all exaggeration, and the evidence is based on fantasy. Without court observers, at least making up documents, there would be no truth in the records at all.
Right.
And one other point that I made is this, and I finally convinced Deb Jordan of this. These sworn documents, whether they are filed in the docket at that time or not, if the Bundys or Pete Santilli or anybody that has a chance to turn around with civil litigation against the EPA, the Forestry Service, or anybody else, these sworn affidavits are going to be invaluable. They're going to be invaluable in a civil case. They're very, very important. And with the court system set up the way it is now, the role of court observers are very, very important. They play a very important function in the court system right now. I would answer questions if I got an answer.
Anybody got a question?
Yeah, I do. It's Jan in Kansas. And I had heard on one of the alternative radio shows, I think it was Jeff Rentz, I'm not sure, but they said that there's a big flap now because it's coming to light that in the Bundy's case and the Hammonds that the federal courts do not have jurisdiction. Like it's becoming well known. Is that something you've heard, Ollie?
Well, let me fill you in on this. This is an important facet. In 1933, in an effort to bolster the economy, they passed this land act, okay? They allotted monies to the federal government where they would purchase property, okay, with this intention that that people could come in and for lack of a better term, squat and start working these lands and take possession of those lands with adverse, adverse possession, okay? The stipulation was this, especially any lands that they purchased, they relinquished all jurisdiction back to the states and back to the people. This was an act of Congress, okay? Ammon Bundy did his homework, and he did it well. He had every lawful right to walk in there and claim that property. He has more jurisdiction and more lawful rights to be there than the BLM, the Game and Fish, or the Feds. He had every lawful right to go in there and claim that land. Now, they just got. I was disheartened today. I checked Pacer, an hour or two ago. They had a bit. McIntosh, Angus McIntosh, had a very excellent motion that they filed. Okay, the Ninth District Court, in fact, ruled that they had to stay that trial and have a hearing and prove jurisdiction before anything, before these complaints could be charged or before this trial went on. The federal government come back today, one of the last things they done, and they denied that motion. I don't know. They sit there and lie and twist words and argue. They denied that motion. Half of us expected for that trial to come to a screeching halt. And then they just lie and lie and lie and lie. Exaggerated fantasy is all they're using. That they become close to a mistrial. Here's another thing. Ward, in his testimony, made the statement that he was afraid because part of the Bundy crew went into Las Vegas and killed two cops. Okay? Which is blatant. That is grounds for a mistrial. Ryan Bundy objected. Munford, Almond's attorney, objected. They put in for a mistrial. That response was denied. It is so blatant what they're doing in these courtrooms now. And in all courtrooms, it's so blatant how one-sided it is. That is why courtroom observers are so important.
None of the courts have jurisdiction, not one of them.
No, they do not have jurisdiction over the federal lands. It boils down to this. The only jurisdiction they have over lands is over forts, docks, and the 10-mile square.
Yes, that's right.
But then one last thing I would like to say. I am trying to get something set up in Nevada in the Valentine's Day trial with Daryl Thorne and the rest of them that's going to go to trial next year. I would like to get courtroom observers set up and get them in the habit of making a daily sworn affidavit and filing it with the NLA, or at least making them and filing later at some time. But that, I stress, making good documents and getting in the habit of making a sworn affidavit at least every day or two while it's still fresh in the mind. We have learned a lot in this trial here. And the next trial, when we go into, we're going to know a lot more. We're going to know better ways of doing it. And I'm working on the Joe Robertson trial right now. I called up the Montana Supreme Court clerk, and I asked her, I says, pro se litigants, what about e-filing? If they're in prison, well, they still got it. In Montana, they still got to put out papers. I said, what about power of attorney? No, the power of attorney can't e-file either. So you see, it's back to that where they're denying filing from the NLA. But we have just got to work, and between
under
the courts.
Under what authority?
Pardon?
Under what authority are they doing that?
It's all exaggerated fantasy authority, and I guess it's up to each district how they handle that.
Show me the law.
That's what I say. They are supposed to provide assistance to pro se litigants. They're supposed to provide assistance to indigent pro se litigants, but they are not. They are hanging them. And then the bar attorneys are worthless. There are a few. Mumford Almond's attorney, he's good. Maidenbach's attorney, he's good. But they are from the old school. They know what's going on with the land theft and all this and that. That trial is. I don't think it's going to come to conclusion. The word is that they're going through the prosecuting witnesses. I hear when they're done with that, that then they're no longer going to be able to deny these motions. But they denied the mistrial motion today, and it's just so saddening.
They just have to stick to jurisdiction and don't sway from it. Just keep asking them.
Yep.
How can they prove that they have jurisdiction, that the laws apply to me?
They do not have jurisdiction, pure.
And they don't have any of the laws that they quote. Well, can they prove that those laws apply to me?
Here's the way the law states. They went through a trial with marijuana. As you know, marijuana is legal here in Colorado. I don't know if this case is in Colorado or not. But it was ruled. If the feds come in a drug case, they have to prove that they broke a state law first. If they broke a state law, then they can charge them with federal crimes. If they broke no state laws, they cannot charge them. The feds.
Okay.
The DAA and the feds. Okay, Mollier, guess who's in charge of that refuge? The state of Oregon. It is a bird refuge and a hunting area. It comes under the state laws and the jurisdiction of Oregon. They have no jurisdiction there. Period.
Except that they did take over all the states. The feds did, you know.
They are claiming jurisdiction, and all the evidence in Portland is exaggerated fantasy. It is all lies. It's all it is.
Yeah.
And we have just got to keep fighting and fighting and fighting.
Yeah.
From every angle. And then court, it's very important for court observers to record all this.
That's
record
why
it.
When you ask them to prove that the laws and the jurisdiction, how does it apply to you? Who's ever on trial? How does that apply to me? Can you prove how that applies to me, the tax laws, the road laws, how does those laws that are on the books apply to me?
They don't.
That's how you ask them.
Yeah.
How can they prove it? That's how to make them prove jurisdiction.
Well, Bailey,
they haven't got it. They haven't got jurisdiction. They can't prove it. That's the only thing you can talk about.
They're all bluff right now. It's all bluff.
And don't let them change the subject. Just prove to me that these laws apply to me in this state. Where's the state at? How did these laws attach to me?
If you're not breaking any state laws, the feds cannot indict you or charge you with any federal crimes.
Well,
period.
The laws of any state can't do it either. Because how do they apply to me? I only go by God-given laws.
Well that's another argument. What I'm fighting right now is the feds. I'm fighting the feds in my cases. We've got to. The battle now is with the feds, with the EPA, the Bureau of Land Management, state USDA Game and Fish, the Forestry Service. They all have their private armies, and they're all hiring these mercenary thugs. They hired mercenaries and Burns, and the truth be known, it was a mercenary hired thug that shot Lavoie Finicum 3 times in the back.
Right. And that's how the unions took over all the auto companies.
Yep,
that's how the unions
exactly.
took over all the schools and all the government. Because they're united and they are criminal.
Yep.
Gangsters.
Oh, they are thugs.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
Thank you, Ollie. I appreciate that. Yeah. That was what they were talking about. They did say that the Ninth Circuit or District or whatever you said, they were talking about that, and it was pretty much like it was understood. And like I say, this is a national radio show that I heard it on, a fairly big and well-established one.
Yeah.
And they did say, like, well, everybody knows that they don't have jurisdiction. So anyway, that is going to be a big fight. But I think it sounds like it's going to be a big fight out in the open now rather than hidden behind, you know, so much lies that people can't get to it. But I just want to thank you so much for your care of people, you know, and for everything that you do. It's really appreciated. And I'm out.
Okay, one last comment I want to make. That Land Act of 1933, I encourage people to they've got 2 or 3 videos on Facebook. You go in and they go totally explain it and go through it. One video is an hour and a half. It is excellent. It explains the lawfulness of what's going on with that. But here's what we need to do. We need to promulgate that and make it public and make everybody aware. And that concept, to be honest, is hard to wrap your mind around. Everybody's thinking in that box, in the box. They've got us in a box where we can't think for self and we accept certain things. We've got to get out of that box and start thinking like we the people and not victims. But we have got to broadcast that from one end to the other. The law, the Land Act of 33, and they have no jurisdiction. They have no jurisdiction. We have got to take that home.
And their laws don't apply to us.
Right, exactly.
None of their laws or codes or nothing apply to us, the people.
So thank you, Ollie. That was really great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hang on with you. I was gonna call in tonight, and I feel space for that. But go ahead with your call. I'm just in a listening mode right now. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't think we have much more though. Unless people want to speak about their own cases.
Carl?
Yeah.
It's Harley. Come on,
hey,
Harley.
Hey, how have things been with you?
Sort of all right. I'm in a bit of a cocoon here coming up to early October jury draw.
Oh, you have a jury duty.
No.
The jury's being drawn for you.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a very practical question in that I'm in there sparring with the fiction. It's state court. It's a county court. And the charge is criminal trespass when I was in communication and actually on my way to see the sheriff, and they arrested me and faked my resisting, which is just laughable. I've got the video of it. Consists of me getting from my face to my hands and then being shoved back down again. Everything else I complied with. But at any rate, so I've got to have an idea what it's okay and not okay to ask a jury member, like potential member. I'm wondering if there are any guidelines out there you can think of.
Well, I will say this. Forden one time had this, in one of his lectures, he was talking about how the in California somewhere, there was somebody who was going to go on trial, and they were drawing for the jury, and the guy insisted that it be one of their peers, the people, et cetera. And he went into this whole thing about how they explained to these people what a peer was, the pool of jury, the jury pool, and somehow no one was actually considered a jury. They couldn't find anybody. So they had to go out, and they had the sheriff try to find somebody, but they couldn't find anybody, so they had to dismiss the case. Because they make arguments. Because I think if you ask if you're a citizen, and this is just something that I've heard of people doing, ask if they're a citizen, and then ask if they're one of the people, and you might be able to ask their citizen, and if they say yes, that might actually disqualify them technically.
I don't know if I want to go there, guy. I've been accused of being using sovereign citizen language in the rebuttals from the mortgage lawyer. Okay.
Yeah.
Then I've been told by one judge that I had quote other problems that. I got him. I don't know what he meant by that. And accused of sending disturbing letters to the president of the bank, which was an open letter on Facebook, telling him he wasn't kicking 20 some animals and a family out on a icy road in January, but if he was ever homeless, he could sleep on my couch. That was disturbing to him. Comical, but my point is that, even in the jail, they accused me of being a sovereign citizen, and they asked me these questions, and I knew, by then the answer. I said, that's a pejorative and this and that. So I'm actually even a little shy about using NLA stuff to a big degree because I'd rather use pretty pure constitutional stuff. Not that there's a big difference. I'm not trying to. Do you know what I mean?
No, I understand. Yeah, no, I completely understand.
Let me make a couple of comments on that. They just went through jury selection out in Portland. There's a lot of experience out there now. If you could get a hold on the court observers or even Shauna Cox. Shauna Cox is not like, yeah, she's out on, on bond or whatever. If you could talk to one of them, they would give you some very excellent ideas. Now, my main comment is this, and it's more humor than serious, but I'll tell you what, if you want to give the prosecutors and the judge a heart attack, you ask the juror this, okay, as a potential juror, are you aware of your rights as a jurist in regards to nullification?
Well, you bring that up, and I said it's very astute because it's been on my mind big time. I've even asked John about it, and at one point, and we're like, well, I guess the safest route would be literally to let your papers do your talking and put quote the law And then reference yourself to it, because otherwise they're going to have a fit. You know, if I did it outside the courtroom, they would call it jury tampering and put me under the jail.
Oh, they were passing out flyers out in Portland, and they arrested one guy for passing out jury notification flyers. They closed the whole parking across the street in this line of cop cars, and they dubbed them now the Nullification Patrol.
Wow.
Yeah, so again, I was thinking of a slick way to introduce that and to make sure I'm covered and, you know, to give subtle signs to the judge, because I can't really with the lay public, you know, that I'm doing this constitutional thing and protecting my rights, and it's all on the record. By the way, I've got official written permission to videotape, so that's going to be good. This saga already has half a dozen videos.
The only other comment I'd make to you, sir, is I have court observers and have them making out sworn affidavits.
Yeah, I'm hoping my dad can do that, but he doesn't really have a sense of any of this. He's real green.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a suggestion.
Shoot.
Okay.
Harley,
do you know anything?
One second. Can I say something to Harley for one second? Okay,
sure.
If you're thinking that if you want to stand on your paperwork and not say anything to the jury, you have to remember something. The jury doesn't get a copy of your papers.
No, I don't mean in that sense. I mean just as far as being able to reference it in a safe way without being, you know what I mean, yanked up by the short ones. I actually appealed to the prosecutor by voicemail, because when they changed my jury draw date without any notice and turned it into a hearing over what kind of accommodation I needed, I said, you know, we're coming up to this jury draw. What kind of questions can I ask? You know, where's the rule book on this? Because I care it's a real third rail.
Okay. Were you, when they arrested you, did they have a warrant for you?
Nope, and I was asking. That was the only resistance I was doing questions. Can I see
your
bond? Do I have a warrant? That kind of thing.
Okay, are you aware, though, that for resisting arrest to stick, they must have a warrant? If there is no warrant, the Supreme Court has ruled in many cases that you not only have the right to resist, but you have the right to resist in such a manner as it may even cause the injury or the death of the officers, and you are within your right to do that.
That's one
they
of those
things without a warrant.
It's technically accurate and ill-advised at the same time. Like, in the heat of the moment, those guys don't analyze shit. They see something they don't understand, they shackle it and subdue it and take it in front of somebody who does.
Well, I was just going to say that I got probably one. I won my case that way.
Did you? Wow. It's just, I mean, I like the point about the no warrant, no resisting possible, because, again, I'm sitting there asking questions and specifically for the warrant.
I'd like to make a suggestion. I don't know much about process. This is Veronica, by the way, in Pennsylvania. But I'm wondering, you seem to know who you are, and you seem to know that, you know, pretty much they're after your straw man. They're not after you as a real person. So back in Bouvier's 1856 law dictionary, there is something called the claim of cognizance, C-O-N-U-S-A-N-C-E. And in English law, and this is common law, this is defined as an intervention by a third person demanding judicature, I guess the word, in the cause against the plaintiff who has chosen to commence his action out of the claimant's court. So, in other words, they're commencing their action out of your court because you're looking for a jury that's going to support you, it sounds like. So, number two in this claim of cognizance, it says, it is a question of jurisdiction between the two courts and not between the plaintiff and the defendant. So you change everything around by using this claim of cognizance. As in the plea to the jurisdiction, and therefore it must be demanded by the party entitled to cognizance or by his representative. Obviously, you don't have a representative for this, except your real person, so to speak, and not the defendant or his attorney. A plea to the jurisdiction must be pleaded in person, but a claim of cognizance may be made by an attorney. So you can, you know, you can be the person who's representing yourself, the person, and saying, this is a question between two courts and not between me and you.
Yeah, it goes along with saying that if they try to put you on the spot about, you know, testifying who you are and all that and stuff in the first place, people say I'm making a special appearance.
I'm just putting this out there for you to take a look at it and, you know, see if it fits. I mean, if it fits, wear it.
If it was a parking ticket and it didn't involve a felony and some other things, like, I'd be a little more cavalier about, like, the whole jurisdiction thing. But, you know, they haven't pinned me down to say that it's me, so they can't even say that it's me. So at the end of the day, I can always sue again in civil court for damages for false, you know, process and everything. Right now I'm trying to save my skin.
How about a writ of error?
I did get my rights back.
Right, and it is an issue between the two courts. I mean, it is from the get-go, everything that they do. So I'm just bringing it forward for that purpose. And take a look at it. There might be something in there you could use.
Well, no, it's no good, and it's especially if I build a case, if follow me here, if I'm right or not, where I say that the jury you're building are not my peers. This is not a fair jury. What I'm saying is other court that I'm expecting to be convened about me, it's being denied me. That's the jurisdiction being denied me.
And what I've noticed here in Pennsylvania is that people are entitled to a jury trial. It doesn't say trial by jury. So look for those subtleties in the wording of what it is you're dealing with out there. Okay?
What would you say the difference between those two things are, real quick?
A jury trial is something that, yeah, you're going to have a jury trial. That's what you ask for. So, but it's not a trial by jury. A jury of your peers was understood back then. It was, you know, Matthew 18 says, you know, if you have a problem with someone, you go one-on-one with them and you negotiate it. And then if you can come to some sort of a conclusion but can't work out the details, you take it before, you know, two or more people to help you with that. And if that doesn't work, then you take it before the assembly. So the assembly was a trial by jury, a jury of your peers.
Right. And so what you're saying is that sort of a another interim fiction where they say we've dragooned this group right here, we're calling them adequate, and that's your trial by jury. And
well,
you're saying it's different than that's your jury trial, rather.
Yeah, and if it was a trial by jury, it would say trial by jury because that is the wording that is used in the amendments. So make sure that the wording is correct, because words mean something at law. Okay?
Well, I may be headed for the non-ideal version of that, because I think they refer to it as, you've asked for jury trial. You know what I mean? They make these kind of assumptions. It was also very imprecise when the plea time, you know, you would think would be there, because it's like you don't want to plead guilty to this. Because I think I just discussed it hand with the prosecutor, you know, that, you know, I'm taking this trial. So I never really formally plead. I never formally mention my name, you know, like agree to anything.
Also, too, one thing that, you know, is kind of overlooked, too, I think, in this conversation is look for someone who is willing to be there for a while, because you don't want to pick someone who wants to just get out of there as quickly as possible either. But, you know, you want to try to find someone based on how they are acting in the jury selection who might be able to be with you potentially or be willing to take the time. You know what I mean?
To like in body language, they're not impulsive. They're not kind of
exactly,
jittery.
Yeah,
they're going to pay attention. That's right. Good advice.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if they just, you know, I'm going to get out of here and the judge is giving me a hard time, don't let them, you know, don't let them be pressured by the judge or something because they want to get out of there. So that's just
be easily influenced.
Make sure you pick the deplorables, too.
Awesome.
If they're not deplorable, you don't want them.
Oh, I mean, my mind rails at the questions I'd love to ask and the questions that, yeah, I don't know.
Were you disturbing the peace?
No, I was on my way to meet my sheriff. If you listen,
were you a threat to society?
Pardon?
You were not a threat to society either?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, those are the criteria for the warrant, then, if they didn't have one previously for your arrest.
Was that I wasn't a threat to society?
Correct, and you weren't disturbing the peace? You weren't a threat to the safety of anybody or property?
No, I was on a disputed piece of property with a bank sending me nasty grams constantly, and I was in touch with my sheriff about my legal process with the Supreme Court, and had an open docket there at the time, and it's so surreal that they just, you know, they intercepted our communication. The sheriff tipped me off and said he wanted to meet, and on my drive there is where we were pulled over. And again, they made up all the paperwork that day.
Of course.
And it was a clerk. It wasn't even a judge. A judge never touched it until my arraignment.
Okay, is this on a foreclosure?
Yep.
Okay, my friend just went through foreclosure. I don't want to report on it because I don't have the final decision, but the judge came out and told them that because you proved that they don't have the note, you might as well consider that you won the case.
The bank is on it. Well, this is it. My chance to bring what's been denied me in civil court into a court because they keep kicking things out in their regular fashion. Like the Supreme Court case was dropped. They said they didn't have jurisdiction. The time ran out. And like, I'm like, there's no time limit for the fraud with the false proceedings that they unconstitutionally filed and processed. So, great. I lost my thought.
Well, this was on appeal. They were in appeal court, the appellate court in the state of New York.
Okay.
I'll report on it. As soon as I get all the facts on it, I'll report on it. It should be soon. The decision hasn't come through yet. 5-judge panel.
Well, I'm taking mine to federal court, and I want to be restored to my property and all the damage. They did a horrific thing, and if anybody wants to learn about this, 90 acres was taken off me. I had 18 years. And you can see YouTube videos under Earth Geek or People's United Bank Fraud. So,
what is it again? What is it?
Earth Geek.
Okay.
That's my YouTube channel. And there's about 6 videos. People's United Bank Fraud.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. I think we're going to close it out now because it is 10 o'clock.
Thank you.
Laura,